KZZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Lawyers for Lyle and Eric Menendez holding a news conference outside the Los Angeles County Courthouse, calling for the brothers to be resentenced. They were convicted of murdering their parents 35 years ago.
Today we know better. We know that abuse has long-lasting effects, and victims of trauma sometimes act in ways that are very difficult to understand.
The brothers' aunt Joan, new evidence of chronic sexual and physical abuse by their fathers come out. Presidential campaign less than 3 weeks from finishing. Democrat Kamala Harris, Republican Donald Trump doing interview blitzes. At least three people died and four were critically injured after a Mississippi bridge with workers busy demolishing it collapsed today, says the Simpson County Sheriff. Former One Direction boy band star Liam Payne is dead after falling from the third floor of his hotel room in Argentina, according to state police. He was 31. This is ABC News. It's not just misinformation that is hurting hurricane victims in the South. Fake images online, also duping donors.
The image is heartbreaking and has generated countless views. A traumatized young victim of Hurricane Helene, soaked to the skin, sitting in a boat holding her puppy. The problem is that the boat, the puppy, and the little girl are all fake AI-generated images blazing across social media. Officials in relief agencies say such images erode public trust and cut into support for actual storm victims.
ABC's Jim Ryan. Federal judges stopped a program that made thousands of legal voters in Alabama inactive, restoring registration status for both American-born and naturalized citizens ahead of the November elections. Justice Department sued over the program, arguing that it violates a federal law barring the removal of names from voter rolls 90 days before an election. Tennis icon Serena Williams says she had a benign cyst removed from her neck. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, if you're leaving a job, unless it's like truly a terrible worst case scenario, it's a good practice to leave your job on the best terms possible. You never know what or who you might need later. So here are my four steps for leaving a job without burning a bridge. Number one, start by talking first to your direct manager. Now, you don't have to go into great detail about why you're leaving or what you're gonna do next, but a when you're leaving and some version of a why should be in there. And 2 weeks notice is the polite minimum standard for leaving a job. Step two, email your resignation to HR and include your end date. Step three, now if you are a manager, your direct reports should be the next folks you talk to after you and your boss have put together a plan. And finally, do the best work you can so you leave on the best terms possible. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Workers at the Miller Brewery in Milwaukee have ended their week-long strike. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Milwaukee machinists and Molson Coors have reached a deal. Both the company and the union are expressing satisfaction with the new three-year agreement. Specific terms have not been made public. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The number of absentee ballot drop boxes has gone way down in Wisconsin from 4 years ago. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf says there were more than 500 drop boxes in more than 430 communities 4 years ago. Now she can only confirm about 78 of them in 42 communities. While that is a steep drop, the number could be higher because there is no requirement for the state's 1,850 local election officials to report the use of drop boxes, according to Wolf. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Badgers getting ready for the Wildcats. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers head to Illinois to face the Northwestern Wildcats Saturday. Wisconsin with a record of 4-2. Northwestern is 3-3. The Badgers lost to them last season. Head coach Luke Fickell.
It's a really solid football team. I think they do the things they do really well. You know, they're physical. They play well up front. I thought last year they controlled the line of scrimmage, and particularly better than any other game that we played last year. When I say they controlled the line of scrimmage, that's probably me not wanting to say that they dominated us up front on both sides of the ball. But in a lot of ways, they dominated us up front on both sides of the ball in a lot of other areas.
NFL, the Packers have released their rookie place kicker, Braden Narrison. After just six games, Narrison was leading the league in missed field goals. They've signed veteran kicker Brandon McManus, who spent eight seasons with the Broncos before joining the Jaguars. The 49ers have signed former Packers place kicker Anders Carlson as a backup while their kicker recovers from a shoulder injury. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low to the mid-30s. Sunny, breezy, and warmer tomorrow, high in the mid-60s. Sunny with the wind picking up for Friday, high upper 60s. A slight rain chance for Friday night and early Saturday. The weekend temps will stay mild. Right now it's 48.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning on Up North News Radio, Assembly candidate Christian Phelps, Joe Zepecki, and our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabba.
All right, let's do this, man. We are in hour number two of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, broadcasting statewide in the beautiful state of Wisconsin from gorgeous downtown Green Bay on an actual fall night that actually feels like fall. This is not as bad as yesterday was, though. Yesterday was downright damn cold. It's so weird, though, when you hear people in Wisconsin complaining about high 40s in mid-October. That's not really that far off. I mean, it was cold, but
you know what's funny is when,
suck it up.
When we get that weather going from winter into spring, we're happy about it, though.
True. Exactly. You're wearing shorts.
Exactly.
Probably with a jock strap underneath.
Well, I always rock one.
You just never know. Okay, so that was fun talking to Sean. We got some tickets to give away. Conrad will check the text line. 773, we got your request for tickets for Blues, Brews, and Barbecue for a family of five. Can we do that, Conrad? I think we can do that, right?
Yeah, we can make that work.
Sure. Thank you, 773. We'll need your information. How does that work, Conrad? What do we do?
Well, I'll get the information. Don't worry about
You'll get the information. Oh, he's on it. Okay, very cool. he says, or she, from the 773, says, we used to go to a Blues, Brews, and Barbecues event in Napa, California when we lived out there. It would be awesome to check the Wisconsin event out. Probably not that much different, just a little cooler weather. Mike from Green Bay is the proud recipient of two tickets to Blues, Brews, and Barbecue as well. People don't mind road tripping up to Marinette. I think that's kind of cool. Well, it's free tickets, too.
that
people
helps
love free
it.
Stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, you gotta love free stuff.
All right, Sean, we're working for you. Sherry says, I'm from Lockport, Chicago. Yes. Way to shoehorn yourself into the city of Chicago, Sherry. That's awesome. But that's what everybody down there says. I'm from Chicago, too. Really? Where about? Rockford. No. That's not Chicago. That's like me saying I'm from Milwaukee, and I live in Marinette. So we got Mike all situated. Jim from Appleton answering our question of the night. He says, I love both cats and dogs. Because of my work schedule, I can be away from home for 48 hours. I have cats because they are more self-sufficient, put out enough food and water, and have a clean litter box, and they are good to go for days. That's true. All right, I didn't think of that. Because it is International Cat Day, folks. But then we saw that people are buying Crocs for their dogs, which is just really downright weird. So that's our question tonight. Cats or dogs? Very simple. A much simpler question tonight than what we usually do.
So is that a vote for cats?
That's one for each.
Okay, I'll put one for each then.
Steve from Florida says, I'm a cat person. When we moved off the family farm, I brought a kitten with us from the farm because I thought Conrad and his older brother, Asa?
You got it.
Am I saying that right?
You got it.
Asa loved the cat. Raskus? Am I
and
saying that right?
That's Asa's doing in the name, too.
There's no K in Raskus, though. That's what I can't understand.
Right.
Became our family animal for their full duration at home. Raskus lived for 20 years. What I found out years later is the boys would have preferred a dog. The benefits of owning a cat compared to a dog is that you can leave them for a couple of days as long as they have food, water, and a clean kitty litter. It's not kitty litter box. It's just a clean kitty litter. Is
just the box.
Okay.
Unopened. They got it.
Sherry says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Hello, Sherry. Great to have you with us. She says, dogs and cats. So it's a very simple question, but it's turning into kind of a fun poll. So that's great. Okay, so tomorrow night on the show, it's our popcorn pick of the week. Eric Hulse from Colonel Popcorn in the Wisconsin Dells will be joining us to give you his movie pick. And then later in the show, Bob Dennis will be here, mafia expert. We're going to be talking mob movies tomorrow night, so that'll be fun too. And then Friday night, of course, is Bar Band Friday night with Terry Barr and Freaky Friday, at least up until Friday, or up until Halloween, I should say. So we'll do some scares and some great new music on Friday night. So that's all coming up on Nightlight. So, all right, Curb Your Enthusiasm dropped yesterday, I believe, is the anniversary. Or was it Larry David's birthday? I can't remember. Or was it Susie Essman's birthday?
Yes, I believe it
Susie
was
Susie Essman's
hers.
Birthday. Okay. So we found two. She is my favorite character by far on Curb. And I love Larry David, love Jeff Garlin. But Susie Essman is so funny. And her character is hilarious on the show. So I clipped, I found two clips that I really like of Susie Essman. Let's do the first one. How do you have them lined up so far?
They're actually combined.
Oh, they're combined. Okay, perfect. So this is Larry refusing to take a tour.
That one's the second one.
All right.
So the first one is when they're outside in the driveway.
And they've taken the head off Jeff's daughter's doll. And Susie finds out about it, and she's furious, as she often gets. So that's the first clip. And then Larry refusing to take a house tour, which just embodies all the awkwardness of the show. These are two clips back to back. Here we go. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Where's the head? I know you took the doll's head. Where is it? Where's the head?
I don't know.
The kid is home, hysterical, because her doll, Judy, has been decapitated. Because you two sickos took the head for God knows what reason. Some voodoo you're doing. Where is it? Stop scratching your balls and tell me where it is. All right, just get me the head, all right? Get me the head, all right? Both of you, because I've had it, you four-eyed and you fat piece of get me the head!
Hey, La.
Hey, yeah.
Is this something?
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Oh, we're so happy here.
Beautiful
house.
Aren't we, honey? We sure are.
So come on, I'll give you the tour.
You know what? That's okay. I get it.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, it's bedrooms, bathrooms. I get it. I see it. It's beautiful. It's great.
You don't want a tour?
You don't need to walk me
around. Get the out of my house, okay, Larry? Just get the out right now.
All right, fine. I'll take the house
tour. No, I'm done. I'm over it. I'm turned off. Leave. Get the f*** out, okay? Freak of nature doesn't want a house tour.
Susie, I'll take the house
tour. No tour for you.
I will have lunch tomorrow, don't forget.
Okay, lunch tomorrow.
Oh, it's so great. Such a great show. Did you watch the last... You haven't really seen the show, have you?
No, but I'll say... That was a hilarious clip. It had me editing in there, stressing.
Yeah, a lot of swears. So that's great. So that was Susie Essman. And then we have, we're going to talk National Lampoon tonight, but I don't want to do the Chevy Chase clips yet. I don't know if we should.
I got three of them.
All right.
So you name it and I'll play.
You got one from Vacation?
I do.
All right, let's do some Chevy Chase from Vacation. In honor of our guests coming up at 7:20, National Lampoon writer Jeff Tully and voice of the network and actor Jamie Kaler will be here in just a few minutes. So here is a National Lampoon clip with Chevy Chase.
Is it from Vacation? It is from Vacation. Okay. I just wanted to say this is when the dog is leashed to the
Love
car.
It happens.
Well, officer, whatever it is I've done, I'm sure I can explain. Explain this, you son of a...
Oh, my God. You know what the penalty for animal cruelty is in this state?
No, sir, I don't.
Well, it's probably pretty stiff.
Oh, you can't think I'd do this on purpose, sir. I tied him to the rear bumper when I was packing the car. It was very confusing. I must have forgot. I'm very sorry. I feel terrible.
How do you think that little dog feels?
Look, I told you I was sorry. It really was an accident.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can buy that, sir. But it is a shame. I had a pooch like this when I was a kid. Poor little guy. Probably kept up with you for a mile or so. Tough little mutt. Yeah.
I was afraid you'd get pulled over, Clark. You've been exceeding the speed limit for thousands of miles.
Dad wasn't speeding. The cop stopped us because Dad forgot to...
He was speeding, Rusty.
No, he wasn't, Mom.
Russ, listen to your mother. I was speeding. I was driving like a maniac. We can all be grateful to this man for stopping us. You see, kids, a car...
Here's the lease, sir. I'm going back to get the rest of the carcass off the road.
Thank you, officer.
See you.
Have a nice day.
So great. And Imogene Coca as Aunt Edna. I actually thought when I first saw that film, I was probably, I don't know, middle school, and they had the grandma, Aunt Edna, on the roof. And I thought it kind of took me out of it.
Really?
And now I see it, and I think it's one of the funniest things I ever saw. But for some reason, like as a seventh grader, I was too good for that moment in Vacation. An absolute masterpiece, top to bottom. I don't know what my problem was.
I can't remember the first time I saw Christmas Vacation, but I loved that movie ever since I saw it.
I like it too, but I don't think it compares to Vacation. I think Vacation is funnier, pound for pound.
Yeah.
You know, here's another thing I thought was interesting. Al Pacino, not a lot of people know this, but when he was in The Godfather, he and Diane Keaton, in between takes, thought they were ruining their careers. They thought it was a silly movie. And this is a movie that Francis Ford Coppola had to fight to get Al Pacino in, because the studio, Paramount, wanted Robert Redford, which I cannot see. I mean, I'm so glad that didn't happen. Maybe Redford would have been really good. Redford is like blonde, blue eyes, even in The Sting, where he's like this Chicago street hustler. I was like, wow, that's an interesting cast. And he's a really good actor, and Paul Newman's phenomenal, and they were great. Because of his acting, you bought it. But I don't think I could ever have seen him playing Michael Corleone. We'll ask Bob Dennis about this tomorrow night when he's here.
Oh, yeah.
Bob, apparently, last time he was here, a few months ago, somebody, the person that introduced me to Bob said, you know, he was on My Three Sons, which is a TV show even before my time. And I was like, what? Like, how did that not come up in our interview? Like, he was a childhood actor. Now he lives in Green Bay, and he's like a mob expert. So I know the path people take sometimes, it's fascinating. But I thought that was really interesting about, and Coppola moved up the shooting of the Italian restaurant scene where Pacino shoots McCluskey, I think it is, and the Turk, because he knew Pacino was great in that scene, and he wanted Paramount to see that so they would get off his back. And they did. And the rest is history. Okay, we're going to talk some more movies with two really talented guys, two really funny guys coming up next. They are from National Lampoon. Jamie Kaler and Jeff Tully will be with us right after a very short break here on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And she can't do a thing to me. I just want to dance the night away with
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
some group of kids from Stevens Point were using racial slurs against black and mixed race players on the Eau Claire North team. Let's go to Joe. What's he?
One of the things that makes this state great is the legacy of Vince Lombardi. He tells his players, you are all equal on my team. Vince Lombardi would never have tolerated that sort of behavior, and he's one of our heroes.
Joe, as you always do, you nailed it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
What Jesse happens Waters. When a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
But that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
I see what I did there?
Yeah.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to a Wednesday night edition of Nightlight with Peach Wamba. Great to have you with me. Our question tonight is very simple. The simplest question we've ever asked. Dogs or cats? Lay it on us, and I will read your response on the radio. How exciting is that? All right. Without further ado, let's get to our next guest. They've been waiting patiently, and they're two great guys. Very excited to have these guys on the show. They both work for National Lampoon in different capacities. Jeff Tully is a writer for the network, and Jamie Kaler is an actor and the voice of the network, and they join me now on Nightlight. Guys, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Dogs. That's my answer.
Without even provocation. I love it. Jeff, what about you?
Don't bury the lead.
Jeff, do you have a dog or cat preference?
Dogs all the way.
Oh, Connery.
Yeah,
two for
I
dogs.
Mean, crazy. It's weird. Only weird guy. I had a friend who had a cat. He was weird. You go to his apartment. There was a bunch of Siamese cats running around. You're like,
oh, dear.
Are you a Bond villain? What's happening? I don't get it.
How do we feel about, this is a California thing, I think, Pete, but how do we feel about dogs in grocery stores? It's kind of bugging me. It's becoming a big LA thing.
Post-pandemic. Are they service dogs?
No, I mean, if you ask someone, they are.
But right.
By the way, let's cut to the chase. There's no such thing as a service dog. If I see one more person scam the system to bring their dog onto a plane to go, I don't feel comfortable unless the dog is sitting with me. You know, you're in a tube with 300 other people, brother. You know, what if I have a pet monkey or a rooster and that I need my rooster, Frank, to get me through the flight around? Here's what I used to be nervous before I had kids. And here's what I'll tell you. Instead of taking a service animal on a flight, take my two children for one flight. I guarantee every flight after that will be the greatest day of your life.
Oh, just, yeah, trying to put in a car seat in the airplane with everybody behind
brutal.
You. Oh, my God. It's a
the stroller. Now hotel. When I fly without kids, I go to the airport 3 days early. I just hang. I just hang out. I sleep there. It's the greatest.
They're service kids. Take them with you. What I loved about I had my son, I would put him in the baby Bjorn. We'd walk all around Valley Village where we lived. And I love – people in L.A. are so funny because they love pets more than kids. And I remember one time I went into the store and this woman comes out and sees my son and gets this big smile on her face and then made eye contact with him. And then she immediately pulled back and got all weird. Like her initial response was, oh, what a cute kid. And then, oh, it's a kid. That's how I felt anyway. I don't know. So if it was a dog, it would be a different story.
So we let my dog right out front. My dog's 20 years old. I have a 20-year-old puggle. Nice. We let him right out the garage. I'm right in Studio City, right next to Valley Village. He walks down. But for maybe 15 seconds, I'm still in the garage getting his poop bag. And before I can walk out, 20 cars have almost screeched to a halt, smashed into a pole to stop to go, oh my gosh, there's a dog. Nobody's, what's happening with this dog? And yet then they'll go to the grocery store, step over a homeless person, and not think twice about them.
That's so funny. It's
oh my gosh.
We had, dude, an owl maybe a couple months ago, an owl almost took my dog. Tried to pick him up right in front of my house, right in Studio City.
How big is the dog?
I was walking the dog, and all of a sudden it felt like a jogger ran by me and clipped my ear. It was an owl, full wingspan.
Oh, wow.
Huge. He lands on my dog. He stumbles over it. He stands up. My dog is 20. Can't see or hear. Didn't even phase him. He just walked right back up into the garage. The owl stood there next to me, and I was like, he obviously couldn't pick him up. He was like 50 pounds. And I said, dude, he's 20. Give me like 3 months. Let me know where you're going to be, and I'll Uber Eats him. I'll bring him right to your house and feed your family for months on him.
Owls.
Oh, yeah. I'm right on the edge of the hills, and the coyotes here have gotten so cocky. They're like, you know, they're out at like 7 o'clock, and they're like, what? You looking at me?
Got a problem?
We had two having relations on my front lawn howling at 2 o'clock. And if you've never heard coyote sex, it's crazy town on my front lawn.
Conrad, Google coyote sex, will you quickly?
Yeah, you should Google that. Listen, hear what it sounds like.
I want to hear this. Now I'm curious. Owls are the jerks, though, of the bird family, I think. That's just common knowledge, but.
Well, they're cocky for sure. They are. He was huge. He was like maybe 3.5, 4 feet tall. I was shocked at how big. I didn't know owls were that big. And very cool. Very cool animal.
Yeah. Very creepy, though, too. I could see your consternation. You guys, this is fun having you both here. And this all started because last or maybe 2 weeks ago, I repeated a Jeff Tully joke premise on the air. Footnoted, of course. And I thought, oh, I got to get Jeff on the show. So I reached out, and I'm glad you made it, Jeff, and great to meet you, Jamie. Although I think we met years ago at the Acme Theater, Jeff Lewis and Chip Chinnery. Yep. I used to hang out with them sometimes. Yeah. And you guys.
I just talked to Jeff yesterday. Chip Chinnery, we're really good friends. Jeff and I have done a million shows together. As soon as he said you, I was like, I know Pete from the day. Yeah. The circle is small.
He wrote a really funny script that a friend of mine and I were trying to produce called Unbearable, and it was about a bear who used to be a human, and he remembers his wife, and he's trying to approach his wife as a bear, and it's just the weirdest, funniest script. And we took it to a couple places, and they said, I don't get it. I'm like, all right, well, of course you don't. It's hilarious. But anyway.
It seems like it would fit well into the National Lampoon archive, right? Like that crazy Van Wilder bear that kind of takes, he's like, hey, goes off on it.
Let's talk about that. You guys both work for National Lampoon. Jeff, you said you talk about, do they license these films you were talking about, like Zoolander and Anchorman?
They have a deal with Paramount, so we have all the Paramount library.
Oh, nice.
They're fantastic. You know, I say from A to Z, Anchorman to Zoolander. So in Beverly Hills Cop, just everything you can imagine. Paramount has just an insane comedy library. So that's not to mention a lot of the TV shows like Reno 911 and Drunk History and stuff like that from Viacom. So really cool channel, just more than just the National Lampoon. You know, I think people think of the movies, but Animal House and stuff, but these are different movies. It's a much bigger library. It's kind of like the best of, you know, great comedy movies. Jamie and I met when I was working at America's Funniest Home Videos and did a million shows together. And so when I got the National Lampoon job, you know, it was a very short conversation with my boss who'd work with them there too. And it was like, Jamie's the perfect voice for National Lampoon. I mean, it's just like, it's a no brainer.
That's so
I still
great.
Have that 1980s game show host voice. I don't know if you've ever seen Robot Chicken, but I do the voice of the bloopers host. Coming up next, more crazy bloopers. So it was always kind of in that vein.
All right, we're going to do a quick news break here. And I would love for you to do a promo for Nightlight before you leave with that million-dollar voice. All right, fantastic. Yeah. Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler are
million-dollar, Jeff. Jeff, we got to talk about money. Did you hear what he just said?
$70. Yeah, I'm not fussy.
It's Green Bay. It's in Tully.
It's like a $20 an hour voice.
All right, we're coming right back with Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler on Nightlight with Peach Baba.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Lawyers for Lyle and Eric Menendez holding a news conference outside the Los Angeles County Courthouse, calling for the brothers to be resentenced. They were convicted of murdering their parents 35 years ago.
Today we know better. We know that abuse has long-lasting effects, and victims of trauma sometimes act in ways that are very difficult to understand.
The brothers' Aunt Joan, new evidence of chronic sexual and physical abuse by their fathers come out. Presidential campaign less than 3 weeks from finishing. Democrat Kamala Harris, Republican Donald Trump doing interview blitzes. At least three people died and four were critically injured after a Mississippi bridge with workers busy demolishing it collapsed today, says the Simpson County Sheriff. Former One Direction boy band star Liam Payne is dead after falling from the third floor of his hotel room in Argentina, according to state police. He was 31. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Six members of the Racine City Council are back after a short boycott. A change approved this week takes agenda setting away from the mayor and the clerk and puts it back in the hands of the council. The new system takes effect in about 2 months. A new public service announcement uses humor to spread the word about election security in Wisconsin. Dane County Clerk Scott McDonald partnered with production house Blame Society to create a Star Wars parody for the election security PSA. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Darth Vader.
Close. He's on. Chad Vader.
Dane County Clerk Scott McDonald says he was actually advised not to use humor when it comes to election security.
And I think it's important for all of us to try new ways to reach out.
Clerks across Wisconsin need the public to know our elections are safe. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Country Jam announced its lineup for 2025. The event, which is held at the Eau Claire Event District north of the city, will be July 17th through the 19th next summer. Headliners are Bailey Zimmerman, Cole Swindell, and Sam Hunt, and also features Chase Rice, David Lee Murphy, Dylan Scott, Sarah Evans, Jake Owen, and Craig Morgan. Presale began yesterday, and general ticket sales start today. You can check out pricing, the full lineup, and other information by going to the event's website at countryjamwi.com. A school bus driver who crashed a bus in St. Croix County near Hudson back in April is no longer being charged with a crime. According to online court records, the driver of the bus, which had middle school students from Eau Claire on it, was charged with a misdemeanor count of unauthorized operation of a school bus. However, the charge was dismissed when prosecutors learned the driver had the proper license to drive the bus. The driver was cited for following too closely. Eight people, including six students, were hurt in the crash.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low to the mid-30s. Sunny, breezy, and warmer tomorrow, high in the mid-60s. Sunny with the wind picking up for Friday, high upper 60s. A slight rain chance for Friday night and early Saturday. The weekend temps will stay mild. It's 46 right now.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Ann Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, "You're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote."
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, did I tell them that story? And they're like, "What?" And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go yeah, vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Matt Rothschild here. I'm guest hosting on the next Dom Salvia Show, and I'm going to be joined by Angela Lang of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Please tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Bridget from the 818 says, cats, they're the pets of the future because they are not as needy as dogs. That's the 818. And then Amanda says, she used to get looks when she walked her ferrets. That'll do it. Oh, it's like walking a bearded dragon. Both are more acceptable in public when you walk. Dogs are more acceptable in public when you walk them. Well, yeah. So
I had a girlfriend who had a chinchilla.
What is that?
And I don't know if you know this about chinchillas, but they are nocturnal animals. So it slept all day. And then it had a wheel in its cage. And just about the time you went to sleep, it started going, zing, 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 zing. And we'd have to get up and then go take a brick and put it on the wheel. So then, like, the chinchilla's like, what? I'm in a cage and I can't use the, like, it was, I go, why? And then I was like, oh, this is why they make coats out of these animals. It makes more sense now. It offers, it was very soft. Oh, to hold it, you'd be like, what if I didn't have to feed this thing? What if I just laid it around my neck and you go, that actually makes a lot of sense now.
Is it like a ferret? Is it like the ferret family or the?
It is very much like a ferret, okay, for sure. And in the same vein of, but yeah, the fur was just fantastic.
Sounds like you're having a moment there, Jamie.
I did. I mean, I had to go to the hospital once. It got stuck. No, that's
that's a different urban legend.
That's a whole different.
All right, so
chinchill out on this subject.
Chinchill out. There it is, the button. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, there's my first question for Jeff. My guests are Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler. They work for the National Lampoon Network. Jeff is a writer for National Lampoon. Jamie is the voice of the network and an actor. Jeff, when I met you, you were working the door at the Funny Firm. You were just starting to put an act together. You did stand-up. You moved to L.A. You have this great career. You're doing all these cool projects, and now you're – you know, you're executive producing, you're working at National Lampoon. Are you where you thought you'd end up?
Oh, that's a terrifying question.
I'd say it knowing you're doing okay. There's, you know.
It was weird when all you guys were on, you know, I did stand up since I was 16, like you guys, you know, and it was for the listeners, there's a group of 20 deep of Chicago comics, you, Jimmy Pardo, Jimmy Dore, you know, Mike Siegel, Steve Seeger, and all these guys who were like, you know, had been in a couple of years. When I got to out of college and back to Chicago, you guys had been doing it a while. And yeah, I had taken my break for college. And even when I was doing stand-up, you know, like I was working, you know, Brian McCann from Brian, we had a weekly show. And even when I was doing stand-up, I always identified with Artie on Larry Sanders' show. I always wanted to be Artie, you know, the guy behind the scenes, running things, telling people what to do.
Yeah.
I much prefer writing, directing, you know, and I can fake it on stage, but I'll never be like a Jamie, you know, like an A-plus comedian. So I was like, well, you know, why be a B-minus, B-plus comedian when I could be the puppet master? You know, that's so much more fun for me.
It's so funny because there just some guys have that temperament. And I could tell, you know, like I knew you were a funny stand-up, but I also, when you say that, I'm not surprised because you have that kind of mellow, nothing riles you kind of, and that's how you have to be as a producer, right?
I think when you have extreme ADHD, you're drawn towards jobs that where you have to put out fires a mile a minute. You know, that's producing. Producing is basically just being a fireman and a plumber at the same time. Everything is going wrong. You're getting blamed for everything. And it's so much fun for me. It's like Tetris, you know?
Jamie, you've been on a lot of fun sitcoms in addition to your work at National Lampoon. You were on a show called My Boys, which had a nice run. And
it did, and it was very Chicago. It was a Chicago show, and I remember throwing the first pitch out at Wrigley, and we actually shot on Wrigley Field. I had to run the bases at Wrigley for an episode, and drank all over town. I mean, we shot there, and then like by day three, the producer had to come to us and go, "Listen, you guys look like drunken corpses that floated ashore. We're shooting a television show. You've got to stop staying out till 5 a.m. But that sounds dangerous. Yeah, that was a big one. But I, you know, back in the day, I did Friends, I did Will and Grace, King of Queens, Parenthood. I've done a lot of sitcoms. The last few years, I was on Tacoma FD with all the Broken Lizard guys: Steve Lemmy, Kevin Heffernan, Paul Soder. So I've, you know, you asked him, "Are you exactly where you are, where you thought you'd be?" And no one ever is.
Yeah,
I think in Hollywood, the trick is to ride waves. You know, everyone said you get an amazing wave and then it has to end. Like sitcoms, like I remember when My Boys ended, all of a sudden you're testing for other stuff. It doesn't quite take off and then something else goes. But, you know, to hold a career down for as many years as Jeff has in this town, I think it's you ride these crazy waves where you're on this unbelievably successful show and it's gold and everyone knows you and they're reaching out. And then all of a sudden you're looking for the next gig and then it comes around. So the beauty of stand-up is that you can always, like, it's the only thing you can control. Because obviously right now the business is contracting a little bit and going off to do the streaming stuff with National Lampoon was a gift. I mean, that was all of a sudden we're on this crazy ride with that thing. And I just went and did a dry bar comedy. Jeff's back doing some comedy nights. And nice. I think it's just about projects, about catching on a project that's super fun. Like anywhere else where you just, you know, you change from job to job. I'm always excited to do the next job.
That's a great outlook. You know, and you said that perfectly. No one really ever is where they think, unless you're like, you know, Leo DiCaprio or someone. It just doesn't happen that way. But if you,
he's all he's thinking about is who's the next 25-year-old Israeli model. So even he's always looking for the next project.
I think that's a little old lesson for him.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, when it comes to that, I learned my lesson. Really, I got really lucky in LA. Like within two and a half years, I just kind of stepped into a show running job with basically no experience. It just came down. It was for Fox Sports. It was called Fuel TV. The channel was Extreme Sports, and I only got the job because I had worked a little bit on Best Damn Sports Show writing and stuff. But the guy who ran Fuel TV was from that. But I only got the job because I knew a little bit about skateboarding and BMX and stuff like that. I mean, and the other comedians didn't. And that lasted, it was a daily show and that lasted for 7 years. And when it was over, we had, I don't know, maybe 60 employees and everybody, 7 years, it got canceled. You know, they moved on, you know, they changed their format at Fuel and stuff. And I was so, you know, I was so depressed. And I went to one of my producer friends that I really respect, who'd been in the business a long time. And I'm like, man, I feel like I let everybody down. The show got canceled. He's like, "Jeff, you ran a show for 7 years. That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
It's a great
run. Doesn't
run.
Happen. Yeah. 4 years, you're lucky, you know? I mean, so, so that's the lesson is like, you, what Jamie said is you have to know that everything ends and everything begins in this business. I mean, I call it house cat syndrome. You can't get comfortable. You know,
well, Pete, you're the same. I mean, you're an established filmmaker, dude. Everyone, just to let everyone know how hard it is to get any film made. It's shocking to see. And you hear the stories. I heard you talking about The Godfather. That thing almost went away a million times. Mm-hmm. It's great. Then they had to work a deal with the every film that ever gets made is like kismet. And so, you know, as a filmmaker yourself, you must have those moments where you're like, it's crazy working. And then, you know, you'll always for the next, but that's what I love about this job.
Right.
I'm always amazed when somebody stays, you know, at a factory for like 50 years and kudos to them to have that stability and to be able to do that and get the gold watch at the end. But for me, even doing stand up, Jeff and I talk about going on the road and doing the same jokes like week in, week out, 50 weeks a year. I've always been very lucky that I could do voiceover. I could do acting. I could do some stand up and podcast. And I mean, it's kind of probably hurt me too, because sometimes if you're not in the same lane the whole time,
yes,
people don't know you and you kind of fade away, and then people go, "Wait, you were in this and this." And then you're like, yeah, I mean, I kind of like I like the challenge of changing up and doing stuff, because honestly, I get bored. I mean, ADHD probably as well, where I'm just like, I can't tell the same joke over and over and over again. I have to like throw it out and move on to the next.
That's a really great. And if I have an issue with if there is something I could do over, I would pick a lane, because I've, you know, did stand up. I did some acting, writing, and now I'm doing this. And it's like I get bored, too. And I'm like, I need a new challenge, you know, and if millions of dollars aren't rolling in, I'm going to try to find something fun. And there, it's not rolling in, by the way. But so, yeah. And it's interesting because when I moved to LA, I booked a show, Gaffigan, your My Boys co-star.
He was on My Boys. Yeah.
We got cast in this VH1 show as the two leads. We shot the pilot in New York. It gets picked up. Within a week, I get a phone call from Gaffigan, a message. I call him back. I go, what, did we get canceled already? And he goes, yeah, we did.
Yes.
The pilot didn't even air. And I went into a depression for like 3 months. And everyone's like, dude, that's common. That you're not, you know. And so when things happen, something happens easy like that. I want to tell people that's not real. You know, you're going to have setbacks. And it's really the journey, I think, in my own experience as a fellow ADHD.
Yeah. I mean, very few people are Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
Comes to town, auditions for two shows, books them both, chooses the 70s show, and you're like, he's off and running. Been in town like 6 days. That doesn't happen that often.
It doesn't ever happen.
So anytime you have any success, because I also know, I mean, a ton of people from my friends at Acme Comedy Theater who are off doing other stuff now, because to hold a career together in this, in any creative art form, whether you're painting or making music, but that's the lifeblood of it, right? To sit and to write a joke or make a movie and show it to people, and there's that nervousness of like, will people like what I made? I mean, that's the challenge, and so it's more of a quality of life thing than it is trying to monetize. You know, you want to monetize, but you know.
My son is going.
But I love
that
the creativity
right
of it.
He'll have a good set and he'll go, "Oh my God, he's on top of the world!" And then a week later, he's like, "Dad, I don't get it." What I go, I don't know what to tell you. You just got to keep doing it. That's the process, you know.
Yes.
Jeff, you and I probably have a lot of KP Anderson. I worked on Sports Soup for a while. Andrew Genzer. Yeah.
I just worked with KP at the Asheville Comedy Festival.
Oh, nice.
Last month. So, yeah, got to see him.
So,
Genzer, yeah.
Where can people find the Nash? Is it an app on Roku they can download? Or
yeah,
how do they see your program?
You know what they call it? They call it fast channels now. That's what they call it. So, when you go on Pluto, Roku, Plex, Tubi, Freevee, I could just keep making up names if you want. Bing bong, ding dong.
Those are actually all real, except the last two.
Yeah. And they're real now. They just started trending. So they just got bought by Warner Brothers. So anyway, there's a million of them, Tubi, Freevee, all that stuff, Pluto, Samsung, Roku, your smart TV has them. And basically just look, you know, it's a funny thing how this is a great example of how everything works. We went away from cable, right? And now we're back. If you look at Pluto, Roku, all those fast services, it looks like old school cable. It's just a live channel guide. For me, it's much more comforting than Netflix to go through the channels. And like, I love that format. So, and there's no surprise, it's become extremely successful over the past couple of years. When I was at AFE, we were the first ever fast channel to make all original content. And now now 4 years later, everybody's getting into the game and trying to start a channel. And it's basically a new version of cable, but now it's on your phone, you know?
Oh, that's great.
But you know, it's funny. That's why I'm pretty lucky that Jeff's dragging me along to do these kinds of things, because I'm still a dinosaur. Like all I ever wanted to do was I wanted to be Sam Malone on Cheers, and I wanted to go do stand up during the hiatus, right? Like that to me was the dream, because doing a sitcom, you get the script on Monday, you do a little play, you shoot it on Friday, have some drinks, back Monday. Like that to me was the dream.
Yeah.
But what's happening is what Jeff's on top of is this, it's content really. And so people aren't even watching TV. My kids don't watch TV shows.
Right.
They're watching personalities, and those personalities need content. And so basically you're making a show, but you're not making a four camera sitcom. You're making a show about somebody or something that's very specific to that streaming service. And I mean, Jeff's really been at the cutting edge of it and has dragged me along for the last couple of years of these amazing projects that I get to be a part of.
Well, so it's a fun combination of old and new technology. I just found out today when I was leaving the office that the Eddie Murphy marathon on Sunday was like our highest rated day. You know, it's Beverly Hills Cop, yeah. 1 and 2, 3, all this stuff. And it's so funny because it's new technology, but it's this comfort. You know, I'm sure there's a bunch of 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds. And up who've right. never seen Beverly Hills Cop original, and they were like, oh, you know, so it's a nice blend of the two worlds, you know.
But look what we're doing right here. I do a show on StreamYard as well. We do the Parents Lounge on StreamYard.
Jamie, hold that thought. When we come back, we're gonna do a real quick thing. Okay. We'll pick it up right there when we come back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wava, Jamie Kaler, and Jeff Tully hanging out with me on Nightlight.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Some group of kids from Stevens Point were using racial slurs against Black and mixed race players on the Eau Claire North team. Let's go to Joe. What's he?
One of the things that makes this state great is the legacy of Vince Lombardi. He tells his players, you are all equal on my team. Vince Lombardi would never have tolerated that sort of behavior, and he's one of our heroes.
Joe, as you always do, you nailed it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio. Don't blame me, you wanna cash out and get the hell out of town.
Don't be a baby, remember what you told me. Put your money where your mind. We are back. My guests are the voice of National Lampoon right now, actor Jamie Kaler, and National Lampoon writer and executive producer of many other projects, and stand-up comedian Jeff Tully are joining me here tonight for just a few more minutes. Jamie, Conrad's favorite show is How I Met Your Mother, and my message to you is just the window is open.
The window is open, baby. One of my favorite things I've ever done. It was really fun to be on that show. I always forget about that one too. It's crazy that, I mean, we talk about it. It was like, I remember you book it, you go shoot it, and then the next week you're like, oh, that's right, I did. It's like a 5-day thing. It was so much fun.
Jeff, you did something with Will Smith. You did a video, The Jump.
Yeah, I didn't kill Will Smith. I was in because of my extreme sports background from the Fuel and stuff in Fox Sports. I was in way too much faith in me, but it was YouTube live event. Will Smith for his 50th birthday jumped out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon.
Oh my gosh.
It's actually Grand Canyon adjacent because the rules you couldn't do in the actual Grand Canyon, but it was right next door. And yeah, he jumped out of a helicopter on a bungee cord and he lived. So I get credit for him.
Was he farting the whole time from the helicopter into the canyon? Did you read that story?
I did, with Tommy Lee Jones in the Men in Black car.
And as he's ripping one, he says, I'm sorry to Tommy Lee Jones. That almost made me like him a little more after the Chris Rock thing, but I still can't get there.
You know, you can still see some of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like, to his credit. I mean, the guy was, he wasn't an actor, he was a rapper, but in some of the early episodes, you can see his mouth saying the other lines of the other actors.
Oh, seriously? Oh, that's great. Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a drinking game almost or something.
Yeah.
Jamie, you were in the middle of saying something when we went to break.
I don't know. It's probably garbage.
You're talking about your deadline.
I got two kids. Oh, I do the parents' lunch. So it's funny, too, because my wife's out of town with one of my kids. She went back east for a family visit. And so I have my one daughter literally in the other room where I have to go, like, go watch TV. And I have her iPad here because otherwise it'll drain the Wi-Fi. So I steal her iPad.
Oh, nice.
I'm a 60-year-old guy with a 9-year-old kid. I'm hanging on by
a thread. Way are you 60.
God, my favorite.
Whoa.
60. I just turned 60 2 weeks ago, man.
Oh,
no, this is all. This is just AI. This is a puppet head.
Yeah, it's working, man.
I'm in the other room moving levers. It's not happening.
Talking about kids and technology, Jamie, tell Pete what you're telling me about the difference between your generation and your kids' generation when they go out to events and stuff like concerts. And they don't.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, as a 60-year-old, I always tell people, I go, having kids at my age is like getting a DUI just as you pull into the driveway. You're like, dude, I was almost home. I was so close, officer. This is my yard. And he's like, no, man, you're under arrest. And your punishment is you're going to be bankrupt and tired for the rest of your life. But
gosh, that's funny.
I didn't, I have to tell my daughter I grew up without a cell phone because, you know, when I was a kid, if you went to a concert and you lost your friends, you made new friends. That's how that show went. Sometimes those friends turned out to be cooler than your old friends, and they became your friends because you had social skills that can talk to people face-to-face and maintain eye contact. It was a weird time.
We got someone who's got your back here. Amanda Nimmer says, no regrets walking my ferrets on walks and chinchillas bathe in sand.
It's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe that's why they're so soft. They get a nice, like a sand, like we a suede stone where they rub their fur or something. But yeah,
that's lovely. It's so weird because I tell my kids that too. Like, I try not to be that dad where I'm like, you know, I didn't have cell phone. That's all just when we were born. We have no control over it. So those idiot parents who say, when I was a kid, well, when I was a kid, if I was a kid now, I'd be doing the same thing the kids are now. This is not a superpower we all have. We were just born when we were born. And the minute I say, put your phones down, the second I move and I pick up my phone because I can't live without my phone either. Mm-hmm. So it's like one of those traps, you know.
We signed a pledge for my 11-year-old and all the parents pledged we would not buy our kids phones until high school. And so I felt bad for her. She was like kind of angry and she wanted a cell phone. So on the way to and from school, I would let her play music on my cell phone in the car. And I don't know if you know how algorithms work, but now my phone thinks I love Taylor Swift.
And
so
you do.
I just get all this Taylor Swift merch ads and Travis Kelce updates. And then I have to sit there and go, oh, hi, it's me. I'm the problem.
Yeah.
And shake it off.
I have a 13-year-old daughter. I know what you're referencing.
Jeff.
Dude, the problem is they're on an iPad. Like, she doesn't even have books. The iPad is the book.
Right.
Can you imagine if you were in high school and you were three clicks from gratuitous bad videos that young men should not be watching, and you were trying to do your homework, and you're like, well, if I just touch this button and this button, I'm going to get I'm going to watch a party happening. And I would have never got through high school.
That's what we used to say. I used to plan sleepovers with friends around R-rated movies. Like, you plan it a month ahead of time. Animal House is on at the end of the month. And now it's like, you just click a button, but,
just the nude scene in Airplane.
Right.
You'd be, you know, when she just runs across the screen, you were like literally waiting for that. I remember you'd have the scrambled signal and you'd kind of catch you're like, I think I saw a breast on Skinamax. Was that a breast on?
Hey guys, this was so fun. We got to run. I cannot thank you enough for the time tonight. Great fun. I hope we could do this again soon. And thanks for the laughs. And be careful pulling into your driveway. I don't want to see any.
I appreciate it, brother. Super fun, Pete. Great to reconnect with you, man.
You too, Jamie.
Congrats on the show. Super fun.
Jeff, thanks for setting this up, buddy. Well, let's talk soon.
My pleasure. Take
care, guys. Have a great night. That's Jamie Kaler, the voice of the National Lampoon Network, and Jeff Tully, National Lampoon writer and executive producer. Two great guys hanging out at Nightlight. It was fun. I'd also like to thank Sean Katzbach and all of you who won tickets. That's going to be a great night in Marinette. So
yes.
Conrad has your information. Maybe we'll try to do a giveaway tomorrow. Dogs won our poll, by the way, 10-6. Not a huge traffic tech night, but a pretty decisive win for the Dogs.
It was, yes.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow night with Bob Dennis and our Popcorn Pick of the Week. This has been Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, and on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by my Thursday guest host, Tom Paulswitz, and our special guest, Joe Fox, from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, talking about the youth vote ahead of the election.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.